Please have a seat, everyone. Thanks for sitting in the front, Greg. Let's pray, friends. Heavenly Father, we know that by ourselves, left to ourselves, we do gravitate to the darkness. We pray that by your Spirit, by the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, you may shine your light in us as we hear your word and think about it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had any of those days where you think, I'm on top of the world? Is today one of them? I was thinking about that the other day, I fleetingly remember thinking those two or three times in my life. Yeah, everything is going well and I can't do anything wrong. They're good days. Hang on to them. More days in my life I've thought, oh no, this is tough. What a waste of a day. In fact, sometimes I've thought, what a waste of a year. Seems all I've got out of this year is pain. Have you ever known those years? Or turmoil or despair? Have you ever thought, what a stuff up? What good could come possibly out of these circumstances? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, where are you, God, in this? Why have you let this happen? You may have thought that. I've certainly had times that I've thought that, and I'm sure you have too. How could this happen? How does this fit into your plan, God? I don't have the answer for you for that, or for me. A few years ago, I heard a story about a Christian who'd been living in one of the Asian countries where you really weren't allowed to be a Christian and you would get yourself in jail if you were. And this guy was a strong enough Christian that he wound up in jail. And in this particular country, they wanted you to not believe in God, and so they would try to brainwash you out of it. And this guy was not allowed to read English. He had to read the home country language or things not written in English, because he became a Christian through English-speaking people, so he wasn't allowed to read any of that. And he was made to read Marxist sort of literature and atheistic literature. And over time, it got to him. Even though he resisted and resisted and resisted, eventually, he woke up one day and said, I'm not going to pray today. He would have been wondering, God, where are you in all this? Right through that time. On this day, he was assigned to clean the toilets. And as he was cleaning the toilets, he noticed there was a bit of paper with some English on it. So he picked up the paper, cleaned it off, put it in, hid it, went back, and that night when everyone else was asleep, he got his torch out and read the bit of paper. And on that bit of paper it said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." On the day he said, "I won't pray," he finds a Bible verse in the toilet, and his face burst back to life. He repented of his unbelief and hardness of heart. And then he asked if he could clean the toilets every day. It turns out that one of the officers had been given a New Testament, and so he was cleaning it each day, taking it back and reading it. This guy ended up getting out, but you still weren't allowed to be a Christian in this country, and he was planning to flee the country. And a couple of the government officials come up to him and said, you're going to leave this country. We know you are. And he said, no, not me. No, not planning anything like that. But afterwards, he again interacting with the Lord. Lord, I don't want to lie to people. If these men come back again, and if anyone asks me ever again if I'm leaving, I'll say, yes, I am. Well, the day before they were about to get on a boat and leave, these two men came up. We know you are leaving this country. We know. He said, yes, I am. What are you going to do about it? We want to come with you. And it turns out those two blokes, if they hadn't been on the boat, they were certain that they would have drowned, because these guys were really highly trained seamen. In this circumstance, you can see how God, even though the guy was in prison, that God was still using all things for good for this person. But not everyone's story, whether you're a Christian in a persecuted country or even in ours, not all our stories turn up where we perceive the good that's come out. Sometimes we don't get to see the good that God is working. Sometimes we don't. So how can the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 here say, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. How can he say it with such confidence? We know. Because his Roman friends, the ones that he'd been writing to, and the early Christians, things weren't going so well for them. They were under the pump a bit, much more than us, threatened by life or by others, their lives sometimes violence, sometimes just exclusion, sometimes ridicule. And yet Paul can confidently say, we know that all things work together for good. How? Because Paul knows his Bible. He knows his Old Testament. He knows that things were promised to Abraham, for whom things weren't looking so good. Wife barren, no children, promises made, things weren't working out for good. And yet, even though he didn't get to see the whole lot of the five promises that were made to him by God, on the look back, any good Jewish person could see that God was good for the promises that he'd made. What about Joseph, who had these dreams of grandeur and yet finds himself up in a prison and then as a slave and then in prison? Things didn't seem to be working for good. And yet at the end of the story, he could say to his brothers, you meant evil for this, but God used it for good. What about Moses, who was in the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, in the river, got chucked into the river in the because all the kids were dying. It's not a good story, is it? But all things work to good. This baby in a little basket turns out to be one who would be raised in the household of Pharaoh and then chosen to be used in a desert to lead the people of Israel out and to the promised land. All things, even being thrown into a river in a basket, working together for good. Even the exile worked for good in the end, because the hearts of the people turned back. And the Apostle Paul could look also at the cross. Of all things, who would ever have said that something good would come out of a crucifixion? Would anyone have ever said that? And yet we as Christians, we say good things, in fact, the best things have come out of the cross. And so because of the history, Paul could say with knowledge that all things work for good for those who love him. When you step back and have a look at the view of God's big story, we can say all things do work together, that God works all things together for good for those who love him. This gives me hope. Does it give you hope? Knowing that good is the thing that God has planned for us, and that that's where things will work to. In verse 28 and 29, Paul at the end of 28 says, those good things work for those who have been called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. The word for purpose there is really like a plan. You will have seen over the last months that plans have been put up. They're actually out there in the foyer. Plans for an extension. Has anyone ever built a house? You need plans. And they're quite in-depth. The sorts of plans you need for houses, they're quite ridiculous, and you get a bit upset at building inspectors and councils and think, do we really need to do that? But without a plan, you can't be assured of the quality of what's coming. And Paul uses a word that talks about those who are chosen according to his purpose. According to his plan, that God has a plan for the world. It's not just running out of control like we might think. He does have something in mind, which is good to know. That's great to know. There is a plan that God is working towards. And then he says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. Foreknowing, like in the sense of where it says before, I knew you, to Jeremiah, when you're in the womb, I knew you. Or in Ephesians that he said that he foreknew us to be adopted children. The foreknowing implies a relationship that he's intently looking and caring for us as his people, looking and longing for us and with us. So those that he foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined's an interesting one. We often think, you know, the big, is all of our life therefore ordered absolutely? Some are saved, some are not. But that's not really what Paul's trying to get at here with using the word predestined. So we've got plans. Remember when Greg put the lines out there? So you go out to the kitchen now, or out to the foyer, you can see where the kitchen is marked out. Or out here where there's going to be a hole in the wall, you can see that it's been marked out. That God has also, not only he's got a plan, but he's marking out how he wants things to be. He's marking it out, determining the boundaries. And he has determined the boundaries. He's marked us out in verse 29, it says, in order to be conformed to the image of the likeness of his son. So if you're looking for a plan for your life, this is it. God has marked out, he has planned, he's predestined you if you are one of his, to become like Jesus, like his son. What do you think of that plan? Do you think it'd be good to be a little more like Jesus? Well, that's God's plan for you. So if you've ever thought, oh, I wish I could be less of me and more of him, well, that's God's plan too. And this is the plan that he has destined for us who are his. Adam was also meant. He was meant to bear the image of Christ. And he did in some senses. He did in some senses bear the image of God in that he represented him. And the relationships that they had to start with represented God well. But for a long time, our humanity has not borne the image of God so good. But when Jesus came, he did bear the image of God in relationships, in worship with God and in relationship with God, and in the way he treated the world. These are all the ways that we will be restored to the image of God, with each other, with God, and with our world. But more than that, the image of the Son that we will be made into the likeness of is like the resurrected Jesus, with his body that has been glorified. This too is some of the likeness that we will have at the end of verse 29, that he, that's Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that we will be like him. I'm thrilled to bits that's coming for me and for you. Some time ago, I heard a story about a few ladies who got together and would read the Bible together, and then they would talk about it. Does anyone here do that? I know some ladies, I've heard that ladies get together and gossip. But what a good thing. Get together, read a Bible verse, and then gossip about that Bible verse. That is worth doing. So these ladies did that, and they were reading the third chapter of Malachi, and they came across this expression in the third verse. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. One of the ladies' opinion was that was to intend that the sanctifying influence of the grace of Christ would come out in the purification. But she thought, I really need to know what this is talking about, so she wanted to visit a silversmith. So off she went, because she wanted to see with her own eyes the furnace and everything like that. So she found a silversmith and went and asked, without telling him why she wanted to know, to refer to a biblical passage. And she sat him down, he sat her down. And so he started to describe the process of refining. And then she said, but sir, do you need to sit while the working of refining is going on? Because that's what the Bible verse said. She said, oh yes, madam. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace, for if the time necessary for refining be exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be injured. And the lady at once saw the beauty and comfort of this expression, that he will sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. Christ sees that he needs to put his children in a furnace sometimes. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for them. Their trials do not come at random. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And as the lady was leaving the shop, the silversmith called her back, and he said that he'd forgotten to mention that the only way that he knows when the process of purifying is complete is when he sees his own image reflected in the silver. So when you're in the furnace, so to speak. Remember that he is wanting to refine us, not just for fun, but he wants to refine us and purify us so that he can see his reflection in us. One of the things that I've started to do, a friend taught me, was to say, when you're going through trials, ask this question: what is God teaching you in this situation that he couldn't have done in any other way? Or how is he bringing you closer to Christ's likeness through these things that wouldn't have happened any other way? Paul said, we know that all things work for good for those who love him, that we would be predestined, that there was a plan, that we would be called, justified and glorified. And one of the chief things that Paul can base his claim on knowing this is after verse 31, where Paul says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? The answer is no one. God is on our side. He has a plan for us, and that plan will not be thwarted. It will not be. It's been won in the cross, and the cross points forward to the victory that will be won in the end with his resurrection. We will be like him. What a glorious plan. It will come about. And we can know that all things, in all things, God works for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. May the cross of Christ do its work among you. And may the story of God give you confidence that all things are in his hand. Let's get on being like him.